She could not do her job as a high school teacher because of the lack of focus that was still plaguing her after the accident. So she started fixing up her inherited cabin in small stages and took long walks on the coast and looked emptily into the air from the beach at the edge of the house. Right now, she was painting the pillar surrounding the dining room in the part of the house that would be hers. The other part had been rented out for economic reasons.
"Maybe subletting it will be good for you in other ways as well," her former stepdad Christian had said.
"How do you mean?" she had asked.
"There's a lot of good things to say about Anne, but I think it's fair to add that even before she became senile, she demanded big things of her surroundings. I don't think she left much room for you to nurse your relationships," he added kindly.
Anne was Ingrid's mom, who, after Ingrid's father had died, an early death had been married to Christian for a short time before they split up. And Christian was right. Her mom had been very eccentric, and her lack of ability or will to be alone at night had made Ingrid's social life difficult, even before her mom became senile at the age of about 65 and then died. But there was something else, something that Ingrid had never spoken to anyone about, because she simply didn't know what it was. Something inside of her made her feel strange and weird among other people. In January, it was Christian who drove her to the train after her visit. She talked to him about it. But just as she had opened her mouth to try to put her loneliness into words, the car accident had happened. Christian had been hurt worse than she had. And then after the accident, it felt wrong to talk about her problem. They both had to fix themselves first. It did not matter anyway, because now the cabin had to be sublet, and there were plenty of practical things to fix first. Among these, she had to choose between the two possible renters. Bertram was one of them. He knew Christian, and he had money. Ingrid wondered why he was even interested in renting half a cabin. He had the money to buy one himself. He had explained to her that he was deeply fascinated by the classic black cabins, which was so characteristic for the area and which was hard to get a hold of. The families who built them kept them. It was appealing that he was so fascinated by those cabins. So was she. To her, they were the epitome of summer. Like her cousin Frederick and his neighbor Tina had told her, it was a good thing that Bertram was wealthy. He would always pay his rent on time. Ingrid smiled at the thought of Frederick and Tina, who had started dating right after Christmas. To everyone's surprise, or to their surprise at least, Ingrid had seen it coming a mile away, even though Frederick had been into men his entire life. Even though they both liked their cabins here by the gray dunes, both of them had restless energy in their blood. And together, they had gone to New York where Frederick lived. He would continue writing while Tina worked with whatever, as she said, and took a degree in social studies. The other possible owner, Zania, was an artist and only 22 years old. She wanted to use her part of the cabin as an atelier. She was very young, only about half as old as Ingrid. But they did not have to be friends to share a house. And Ingrid liked her, too. She was refreshingly different from Ingrid. In a way, she reminded her of Tina, rebellious and open to change. But where Tina was urban and modern, Zania was balanced in nature and dressed like one of her colorful paintings. In the end, a bed was the decision maker, Ingrid told Frederick and Tina later. It was a bed and a couch, both of elegant mahogany. These two heavy pieces of furniture had been left by her parents, and when Zania saw them, she declared she would love to rent them along with the house. Bertram, on the other hand, wanted to rent an empty cabin that he could furnish with furniture by the Danish designer Arne Jacobsen and Berg Morgensen. The thought of moving the furniture finished the deal. Maybe it was the fact that Bertram laughed and called the furniture pompous and German kitsch. Perhaps the war had made everything related to Germany bad, but her furniture had nothing to do with Hitler, and it was not kitsch.
"Oh, thank you, Miss Bromley,"
Zania repeated at least four times when Ingrid called to offer her the cabin. "You won't regret this."
"I'm sure I won't," Ingrid answered politely, while she quietly nursed some doubts. The girl may be too young and flighty. Could she create too much unease in Ingrid's quiet cabin life?
The next morning, Zania drove up with a young man who she said was her friend, Peter. His small gray Volkswagen was filled with paint gear, chairs, and a few very used suitcases. Peter had long hair and wore one of those Afghan scarves, and had a weird walk.